Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm pretty sure that most of you have been following the Olympics in one way or the other, whether you've been watching them or keeping track with what's going online. Have any of you kept track of any particular Olympians? Maybe a little bit. We've heard about Michael Phelps and his 23 golden medals, and that wonderful gymnast from the United States, Simone Biles, who has done absolutely wonderful. We admire some of these athletes for their perseverance, for their amazing athletic ability. We may admire athletes from either the past or the present. Maybe some of you remember Mary Lou Retton, a gymnast back in the day, or Eric Liddell from the 1924 Olympic Games. And then we have our modern athletes as well. We admire them. They're pretty amazing, pretty incredible. Perhaps we would like to be like them in some way. Well, today in our reading from Hebrews chapter 11, we have a list of spiritual Olympians, a whole list of amazing people of Bible story fame that we read about growing up, and we hear amazing things about these people. Who do we have? Well, we heard about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and then the writer of the Hebrews goes on. And imagine epic music in the background as you hear this. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Hear that with epic music. All these amazing people. Okay, so now, go be like them. Go be like these amazing people that we hear about. Amen. How would that be for the ending of a sermon? You might be saying to yourself, wait just a moment. I'm not Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These people are amazing. And you don't know my life, or maybe you do know some of the things about my life, and I have struggles, I have issues. I'm not like these people that we read about. For me to just all of a sudden tell you to go ahead and be like these people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, emulate them, do great things, be awesome, and just say amen, wouldn't be right. Because the author of the Hebrews did not put these people in this chapter, which we call the faith chapter, just so that you'd have some kind of good example to follow, that you might also be some spiritual Olympic athlete. If we examine the lives of these people that are listed in the faith chapter, we find that in many ways they are just like us, with their own issues, their own idiosyncrasies, and their own foibles. We think about Abraham. Abraham, a great man of faith, absolutely. But remember also Abraham, the guy who, when he went into the land of Egypt to escape, I think there was a famine at the time, he basically lied about his wife because he was afraid of getting killed. So we've got Abraham who lied. He was afraid. Then Abraham, remember, he's the guy that took matters into his own hands. God had given him the promise of a son, Isaac. And 13 years before that, he and Sarah decided that they were going to take matters into their own hands. Sarah said, "Here, Abraham, take my maidservant, sleep with her so that we can have some offspring." Abraham said, "Okay, all right." So he didn't wait for the promises of God. This is Abraham. Well, then we think of Moses. Moses, who leads the people boldly out of Egypt. But remember, before Moses led the people out of Egypt, he actually murdered a guy and then ran away. So Moses, the murderer. And then when God tells Moses to go and lead the people out of Egypt, Moses starts making excuses and saying, "God, I can't talk good." And so he makes excuses. This is Moses. And then we got a whole other list of people. I mean, let's see, we have Gideon, who is afraid. Let's see, Samson. There's a guy. He's listed there too. And I'll tell you this, I would not want my sisters to date Samson. No. Samson was full of himself, a bit of a reckless person, and I would not want any of my sisters to date Samson. And yet Samson's listed there too. Then there's David. David in the scriptures is listed as a man after God's own heart. But if we remember David, not only did he, by the power of God, defeat Goliath, and he was a great warrior, but he also messed around with Bathsheba. David, full of lust, took what was not his, committed adultery, and then to cover it up, he committed murder. These are the people that we have listed in this faith chapter. Yes, incredible people, but not because of their own awesomeness, but rather by faith. Over and over again, as we heard the reading from Hebrews chapter 11, we heard that refrain, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And you see, this is the key. It's not so much about the prowess, the amazingness of these people, but rather it is about the amazingness of their God and His promises and the faith which He gave to them to believe those promises. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. The people of old, these people listed, were commended because they trusted in the promises of God. Abraham, though he was old, had received the promise of a son, and by faith, he believed that promise. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And it says in the scriptures that Abraham is considered righteous by faith. We have been made part of this group of spiritual Olympians. This is our heritage as we go forward. The baton has been passed. Any of you watch the relays in the Olympic Games, the Olympic relays? You have the runners, and they take off, and they go, and they're running, and they're running, and they're running, and then they take the baton, and they pass it off to the next person, and that person goes until you finish the race. And that's what has happened for you and for me. We have had the baton passed to us by people that have taught us the scriptures, that have instilled faith in us, that have pointed us to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And then we carry on this baton, and we also run the race, not in our own strength, but by faith. Titus chapter 3 says this, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. According to His own mercy. Now, if you're an Olympic athlete, I imagine you'd be pretty excited when you find out that you're chosen to be on the team. I saw some of the athletes, and they were so excited when they learned that they were going to be part of the Olympic team. And you see, you have been chosen to be part of God's team, so to speak. But God wasn't doing Olympic scouting and looking at you and saying, you have a lot of potential. You are awesome. I'm going to pick you because I know you're going to be great for my team. He didn't do that for me either. But rather, as Titus says, it was not by righteous things we have done, but by His grace and mercy, that He chose you to be part of His team. Along the way, though, we have struggles, don't we? As we go through this life, it's not always easy. We have difficulties that come into our lives. We have moments of tragedy. We have moments of doubt, of self-doubt, or maybe doubting the promises of God, and we struggle. We have inward struggles with our identity at times and wondering what our purpose is, but then on the outside, we have other forces at work, kind of like one of the marathon runners at one of the Olympic Games. A particular individual was running and running well, and I believe was in first place. This is 26.2 miles, a marathon race. And as this person was racing, somebody from the crowd came out and pushed him to the sidelines. He's running a marathon and he gets pushed to the sidelines. But he doesn't give up. He gets back on the track and he keeps running and he keeps running and he perseveres. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." Are there things in our life that are slowing us down as we run the race? Sometimes we have misbeliefs that we tell ourselves, lies that affect the way that we look at the world as we run the race. There are certain attitudes that we have or certain habits which are getting in the way of running the race with freedom and with joy. The writer of the Hebrews said, let us cast aside these things. Like the Olympic athlete that realizes that they don't need certain pieces of equipment and it is cast off. They are running the race with perseverance. We can get distracted also as we go along the race. Makes me think for some reason of the Aesop's fable, the tortoise and the hare. Now we have this arrogant hare who is so fast and he thinks, well, I don't have to work hard at this. So he's running along and the turtle is going so slowly. And so what does the hare do? The hare goes off to the sidelines and starts chatting with all these different people over here and over there. Finally, we find the hare who lays down under a tree and falls asleep and ends up losing the race because of the distractions and because of the pride. But thanks be to God that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us forgiveness as we go through this life. He knows our struggles, and during those times when we have messed up, we have the privilege of coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I have messed up. I need your strength, Jesus. And our Lord is faithful. He gives us what we need as we run the race. He does not abandon us. The writer of the Hebrews says to run the race with endurance. Makes me think of a man named John Stephen Akwardi of Tanzania. John Stephen Akwardi was running during the 1968 Olympics. And as he was running, he began to fall. And he scraped up his knees. And I believe he also had his knee dislocated from his joint. But he kept running. And he kept running. And he kept running. John Akwardi did not make it first at the Olympic Games. He came in last, but he did not stop. He kept on going despite the difficulties and despite the struggles. When people asked him, why did you keep running? Why didn't you just quit? John said these words, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." You see, as we race, we do not derive our strength and endurance from ourselves, but rather from our focus. And that's where a writer of the Hebrews points to Jesus, and that is so important. For the writer of the Hebrews says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus has led the way. He has already run the race. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. It is all by grace. Even faith itself in your life is a gift. Jesus knows what it's like for you to run the race. Jesus himself was here and faced incredible difficulties as he went to the cross. Now, we might think it's amazing to watch the Olympic athletes and their efforts as they do their various events. But these athletes have the support of their nation. These athletes have the cheer of the crowd. But your Savior Jesus went the long way carrying the heavy wood of the cross upon his back as he went to Calvary. Not with the cheers of the crowd, but with the boos and with the insults, with the spitting and the mocking. And not only did he bear the wood of the cross for you, but he also bore the sin of the world, your sin, upon his shoulders. And no Olympic athlete could compare
to the strength of your Savior during that time of his weakness.
For he endured. He endured the cross, despising its shame, and he has risen. He has defeated sin. He has prevailed. And because of that, we have life. We have hope. We have forgiveness. We have a reason to run the race. We have a purpose in this life. I was hearing about two Olympic athletes who ended up winning the silver in synchronized diving. Anybody of you watch the diving events? Maybe a couple. Pretty amazing stuff. Well, maybe you remember hearing about David and Steele, two Olympic synchronized divers. And David and Steele, when they were qualifying for the Olympics, were really excited about getting to be on the team. And when they were being interviewed and talking about this, Steele, one of the guys, said this about the Olympics and about their involvement in the Olympics. Steele says, "It's cool because this is exciting. This is fun, and this is fun, but this is not what my identity will be for the rest of my life. Yeah, I'm Steele Johnson, the Olympian, but at the same time, I'm here to love and serve Christ. My identity is rooted in Christ, not in the flips that we are doing." I was just tickled to hear the testimony that they gave about their Savior Jesus. Because in the end, when these Olympians go home, yes, they have this wonderful gold or silver, bronze medal, but their life would be worthless and meaningless apart from Jesus Christ. And David and Steele realize the importance and their identity as being in Christ. So as we run the race, we have each our own individual race to run, with our own ups and downs. We do run together as a community, don't we? But also remember this, that your Lord runs with you. Your God is there. The God who has given you his promises in his word is faithful. He will not break his promises. And he runs the race with us. Another amazing story at the Olympics was about a man named Derek Redmond. Derek Redmond was running in the 400 meter at Barcelona in 1992, the 400 meter on track and field. And while Derek was running, he was running well, he was running hard, but all of a sudden, one of his hamstrings snapped. His hamstring broke. And as Derek Redmond was going around the track, all of a sudden, we could see, as they're televising this, the pain that he's enduring. Now he's hopping around the track in excruciating pain. When you break a hamstring, that hurts. Derek Redmond is running and wincing, but he hasn't stopped running. And as he's running, you see this person come out from the crowd and, pushing back the security, runs towards Derek and puts his arm around him. It is Derek's father. Derek's father then runs the rest of the race with Derek, and you see Derek sobbing in pain, putting his head upon his father's shoulder, and his father is consoling him and saying, "My son, just keep going." We don't know what he said, but I'm sure he was consoling his son, and the two of them slowly made their way to the finish line, father and son there together. It brought me to tears when I watched it. But your Lord will not leave you. He is there with you during those difficult times. And with Jesus, you and I can face the ups and the downs which we have in this life. Not running in our own strength, but running in the strength of our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, you and I are part of a greater race than any Olympian will ever run. We're part of a race that goes on towards eternity. Eric Little, the Olympian who won gold in the 1924 Olympics in the 400 meter, was known for running fast. But this was also a man who later on served the Lord as a missionary in China. And Eric Little, when he was speaking about the Olympics, said these words, It has been a wonderful experience to compete in the Olympic Games and to bring home a gold medal. But since I have been a young lad, I have had my eyes on a different prize. You see, each one of us is in a greater race than any I have run in Paris, and this race ends when God gives out the medals. The Apostle Paul, near the end of his life, says these words, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." I want to say that on my deathbed. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. You think the medal ceremony is amazing? It is, with all the music, the national anthem, the cheers of the crowd, the flash of the cameras, but it will pale in comparison to the victory celebration that you and I will experience when our Lord Jesus returns, when he takes us to be with him. For there, around the throne, we wave palm branches, shouting Hosanna to the King of Kings, the Lamb who is victorious on our behalf. And because he is victorious, you and I will also be victorious in a victory celebration that has no end. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.